But let's go to the book of Proverbs in chapter 6. Book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Every now and then I'll bring a proverb in the morning. We usually have the Proverbs at night, but it'll be good for us to look at Proverbs this morning and also this evening, if the Lord wills. It's good to be back in the house of God and worship together. Amen?
Amen.
And encourage one another, provoke one another unto love and good works. Please continue to pray for Pastor Eric as he preaches other churches today and travels with his wife. They're keeping well, but they'll cover your prayers also. What we'll do this morning is we're going to read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 15. We'll focus on that this morning, and this evening we'll focus on 13 through to 19, but maybe won't go through the whole passage this evening. But once you've found your place, if you're able to stand, please do so in the reading of the Word of God. And we'll read verses, although we're looking at verses 12 to 15, we'll read it all the way through to 19 this morning. So we look at Proverbs chapter 6 and we'll look at verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we can be gathered together once again in your name. Together, Father, worshipping you with one voice and serving you with one mind. Father, thank you for the common bond, the bond that we have in Christ, the blood of Christ, that leads us to God the Father. Father, if there be anyone in this room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, Father, I pray that you'd communicate through this message to their hearts, Lord, the need of the Lord in their life. For without it, Lord, no man shall prosper, not in this life or the next, and what true prosperity is. And so, Father, we ask and pray that you'd minister to their hearts. And Father, to us, help us to be refreshed and revived and remember, Father, how you have delivered us from evil and brought us into the light, fellowship with the Son and together with you, Father. We're so thankful for that privilege that we have as your people. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you, Father, for saving us. Help us, Father, help me this morning to communicate your word to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible warns us frequently against evil people. In this verse, we see they are called naughty people, evil, wicked men. In other places in Scripture, the wicked man is known by the name of Belial, someone who is devil-like, utterly worthless and wicked. The disposition of a wicked person is one that seeks other gods. In Deuteronomy 13:13, it mentions there, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out of among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. We see also wicked men known of people that know not the Lord, sons of Eli. 1 Samuel 2:12 were people, the sons of Eli, that knew not the Lord, and also were called the sons of Belial, worthless and wicked people. We know that Eli was not that man, but his sons were. And then we see, thirdly, wicked people are used by Satan. In 2 Corinthians 11:13 and 14, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Now that's scary, isn't it? But wicked people are governed or can be ruled by Satan and his lies, and we see that right from the beginning, all the way through Scripture. The Satan is trying to control men. By the way, he does transform things to make them look like nice, pretty, attractive, doesn't he? That's how he works. He does not come in a way where he tries to scare off people, but he comes in a way where he tries to make things look beautiful and, you know, tasteful. But later on, we know from looking at the Proverbs, they only leave your mouth full of gravel. When you take a bite out of his, you know, drawing, if you will, of his plan and purposes, you can only find yourself knowing that that way is not the right way. It's not the way of God. In verses 12 to 15, God warns us again and again and again against the wicked man. We see it in chapter 1, we see it in chapter 2 of Proverbs, chapter 3, chapter 4, and you think, why? Over and over and over and over again, we see it in the Sermon on the Mount, we see it in the epistles, we see it in the Old Testament, time and time again, God warns us against the evil and wicked people. Now, this is a good indication to us that these people are no doubt influential. They have some sort of influence upon us. Wicked people are influential. And God warns us to watch out for them, to guard against them, to avoid them. The wicked person is one that is perverse in all his ways. They are morally corrupted and have no desire to attend to the things of God, but have a great desire to corrupt others. There are some important things to note about this wicked person. They have an agenda. They are not content until they take others down with them. They are ungodly. They purposely work hard to destroy God's ways and God's people. Now, notice the description of the wicked mentioned here. First begins, walks with a froward mouth. Froward mouth is one that is corrupt, full of corruption and deadly poison. As long as they live, they cause trouble. Because the Bible says, walketh about with a froward mouth. Always causing trouble. And you say, how? They give ungodly counsel. They have false teachings and false doctrines against the word of the Lord. They blaspheme God and his people. They have corrupt communication. They backbite. They foolish talk. And they also speak lies. That's a big one. You know, this we're talking about individuals, but we're also talking collectively. There are people in this world that are utterly wicked and hateful toward God. I want you to see some of these pictures that we have on the screen here. We'll come up shortly. Have a look at this. By the way, you know how much money it costs to put something like this up on a billboard? Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And look at this. Don't believe in God. You are not alone. What are they trying to do? Don't believe in God. You are not alone. They're trying to, get people to simply feel comfortable in, you know, their unbelief. Why? Because Satan, right from the beginning, tries to get us to doubt God, his word, his goodness, his love, and so they just want to comfort you in that doubt. That's what they want to do. Have a look at another billboard. This is on a bus. There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. And that's, you know, the same thing that Jesus talks about, how that rich man lived, isn't it? Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, just enjoy your life. Live it up. Don't worry. There's no God, and God will say, you're a fool. You're a fool. Have a look at the next one. In the beginning, man created God. There's probably no God. And again, stop worrying and enjoy your life. Isn't that wicked? That is very wicked. And you know, it does affect the mind of Christians. Did you know that? It does. I mean, you just have to go to the universities and see what they teach, and now in the classrooms and see what they teach against God. And now if you don't have that curriculum, you're in trouble. But have a look. This one, dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. I'm too old for fairy tales. Who do you think Santa Claus is? But they're always trying to go against God, His church, His ways, even the family now. They want to redefine family. They're wicked people. These people, they're wicked people. They're purposely knowing what they're doing, and they're paying big bucks for it. Big money. It takes big money to put stuff like that on a billboard. But I thank God for people like this. Amen. Go to the next one. To all of our atheist friends, thank God you're wrong. Praise God for that. I thank God for that. I thank God for people that will stand in our day and contend for the faith. Amen. Once delivered to the saints. Amen. And expose evil and wicked and subtle people that speaketh lies. Amen. You know, churches today are filled with false prophets behind this pulpit that speaketh lies. And they're the ones that are most dangerous. Amen. They're the ones that are simply behind the scenes working with these atheists. Did you know that? That's how wicked they are. It's probably too hard to accept, but it's true. There are many false prophets that are working behind the scenes and filling churches today, working hand in hand with the atheists. And God says these are wicked, vile people, know not God, transform themselves into the apostles of God, angels of light, to deceive the heart of the simple. That's why Paul, in the same letter of the Corinthians 11, pours out his heart and says, you're following another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. He's pouring his heart. And as we'll see tonight, you know, you have this Jesus that is simply portrayed in movies and even places and books. And so this cool Jesus that lets you sin. He's not a judge. He doesn't judge. He's all loving. He doesn't judge evil. He doesn't expose error and so forth. Can I just say, this is the mind of the emerging church. Yeah. I can't even post something up exposing a wicked movement called Hillsong that is so-called being a leader of churches today without someone saying, don't judge. You can't call that person a hypocrite or whatever. And they use Tozer, out of all people, right, to make that statement. And if it was just, by the way, it's out of context. Yeah, absolutely, Christians ought not to go around saying, oh, you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite. So Matthew chapter 7, but you read Tozer about marking out people and you see how firm he was. But they manipulate men of God, the scriptures, they manipulate Jesus and his character, God. Jesus, my friend, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And right from the beginning of the Bible to the end, God is saying, watch out for wicked people. Watch out. Why? Well, in the application, we'll see why, but let's continue. Let's see. He walks with a forward mouth and then he winks with his eyes, speak with their feet. Teachers with their fingers. These gestures here is to hide their evil intentions. As a matter of fact, it's a body language that speaks from a distance. You believe that? It's a body language that speaks from the distance. In other words, maybe to gesture to those that are in partnered with them in crime. You know, you might see a wicked man use some gestures and, you know, or even to the one that is after, he may, you know, use some gestures to put some fear into that person. Might be some gestures that are deceitful gestures, like a wink to throw their victim off guard. Whatever it is, it's the worst kind of body language that is cunning and deceitful. And the wicked man uses these gestures to be able to deceive and act upon their evil intent. Now, there's a danger. I want you to see the danger. In Proverbs 6:14, forwardness in his heart, forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Now, wicked people follow their hearts instead of the word of God, and that's dangerous. You say, why? Because the heart is what? Desperately wicked. I mean, it's not just wicked, it's desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. And they're controlled by their wicked hearts. They walk according to the old nature. And this is one of the reasons we should, every single one of us, teach our children from a young age the ways of the Lord. Teach them the powerful gospel that is able to save, because our children are not excused from growing up into God haters. Did you know that? Any one of our children can grow up into God haters, just like these wicked people. As a matter of fact, there have been people in the churches that have been taught the ways of the Lord and chosen to go in the ways of these people. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that's all put together, but that's scary. And I cry out to the Lord and say, God, please don't let one of these children of mine, please, dear God, take them early if that's going to take place. You see the end from the beginning. This is serious stuff. Imagine one of your children, I mean, I'll probably be the worst thing that can ever happen, turns out to be a God hater. That's hard. And this is why we need to teach the children from a young age to love God, to fear God, and to follow His ways. You know, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. It starts all the way from the beginning to be rebelling against God and turning away against their authority, following after pernicious evil men, because a naughty tongue, evil people, give ear to a naughty tongue. We love naughty tongues. That's embedded in us. We love naughty tongues. We love to hear wicked things. We love to watch them. We do. Right. We're that way inclined. We're more attracted to wickedness than righteousness. Yeah. That's why we need the born-again experience, and every single one of us and those children, so they can have a revived moment and know the Lord and be the children of God and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They deviseth mischief continually. They continue to live in sin and cause trouble. There's no rest for the wicked, by the way. There's no rest for the wicked. In Isaiah 48:22, the Bible says, there's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And you know, the Antichrist right at the end, peace, peace. No, no peace. Sorry. It's going to look like peace or true peace, but it's false peace. The Lord Jesus Christ gives true peace. Amen. And that's the only peace that we should have in our lives, is the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other one is false peace. Look, they don't stop. If their mouth is not moving, their feet is moving. Continually, they're looking for trouble, conniving and cunning and causing trouble. Why is this dangerous? Well, at least for the Christian that's trying to move forward, trying to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus, trying to be conformed to God's ways and trying to separate from themselves from evil ways. Why is it dangerous? Why is it? Because we live with wicked people all the days of our lives. Everywhere we go, we are faced with wickedness. And it's dangerous if we don't know how to deal with wickedness when it comes our way and wicked people. And can I just say, when you are striving for holiness, when you are striving to look for prize, looking unto Jesus and preaching the gospel unashamed, being a witness for Christ, man, it just comes your way repetitively, sharply, and just doesn't stop. So what do you do in those times when we're surrounded by wicked men? Well, number one, we pray. Have a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And if you understand this, those that study, those that work, those that go out into the work, those that are engaging themselves with people that even they're trying to reach, you can understand that it is hard. It is hard when you're surrounded by wicked people. It's difficult. especially when you go out and try to fulfill the Great Commission, and you go out when you try to witness and try to make a difference. But have a look at verse 1 to 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what Paul says. He says, finally, brethren, ending the second letter to the Thessalonians, he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from who? Unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. By the way, I have news for you. Not everyone's going to get saved. And the emerging church teaches that everyone is going to live happily ever after. Everyone's going to get, you know, Jesus died for the whole world and everyone's going to believe. No. There are, as we're going to see in the Sermon on the Mount, narrow is the road that leads to life and only a few find it. That's prophecy. And wide is the gate that leads to destruction and many enter therein. So we see that not everyone wants the way of the Lord. And there are the majority fighting against God. Again, you can see that through Bible history, that you see that they're always coming against the Lord. They're always coming against Israel. Now the church in our day. And here we see a prayer that he says, please pray for us that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Look at verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is able to do it. So we pray, we ask the Lord to help us, to keep us from wicked and evil people, and then we trust the Lord in our endeavors. Have a look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. So what are you showing these scriptures for? Because we must pray and trust the Lord rather than conform and go with the flow of the wicked society. So it's easy to sit down, calm down and not do nothing. It's harder to stand up for Jesus, isn't it? It was even hard for Paul. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. It is so easy to go with the flow of wickedness and stop fighting against it. It is so easy. But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He is warning us to keep away and avoid that lifestyle and those people that lead us the wrong way. Have a look, even what David said. He said in verse 1, fret not thyself because of who? Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And that's what happened to Asaph, isn't it? He was envious at the prosperity of the wicked, man. Because it's easier to live like that. It is. It's easier. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, but there's an end. And even in our passage of Scripture, we see the destruction of evil men. He says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And when Asaph went into the sanctuary of God, he realized their end. God just reminds us, hey, don't be enticed by this way. There's an end to all that. There's an end to evil. There's an end to wickedness. And you don't want to, as a children of God, go down that road because you won't prosper. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall they dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as light and thy judgment as noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise. He said, don't repay evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The best thing to do is leave it with the Lord. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Sounds like the Beatitudes, doesn't it? And shall delight himself in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. You understand? You understand that the wicked are, they're not just, yeah, you just do, they hate God's people and they gnash with their teeth like they happened in the days of Christ when they crucified him. Gnashing. But those that gnash their teeth against God and against his people will one day gnash their teeth for all eternity in hell. What a sad thing that is for them. The Lord shall laugh at them, for he seeth that his day is what? Coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bows to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. Praise God. The little that a righteous man have is better than the riches of many wicked. We'll stop there, but it's a wonderful psalm to continue to read. Maybe you can read it tonight before you sleep. Look at that. A little that a righteous man have is better than the riches of many wicked. We see that they continue to cause trouble, but then we see they soweth discord. Wickedness and strife go together. They are in the business of causing division. The world, the wicked ones, are in the business to tear up the family, break the home. They want simply to cause trouble amongst family members, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, brothers in Christ, church members, friends. They just want to cause trouble and division. They sow discord. By the way, our demeanor and body language helps in causing division, doesn't it? As he talks about the wicked man here that can cause the trouble with just his body language. This doesn't mean, I'm going to say this, I want to not, this doesn't mean that all division is wrong. We know doctrine divides, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The teaching, divine teaching of the Word of God divides, and it ought to. We ought to stand for the truth and not compromise in areas that are solid and grounded and important. And the truth of God's Word causes division in this wicked world, doesn't it? I mean, for the gospel's sake, Jesus said that a man will be in variance, division, divided, or there will be no peace in the house of those that accept the gospel and those that reject the gospel. In the home, there's a sword that will come and divide a family because of truth. And we know that that's not bad division. A person ought to stand with Christ and not to be ashamed. As a matter of fact, Paul and Barnabas were not afraid to stand against those that taught false doctrine. Have a look at Acts 15. Acts 15. Acts 15, have a look at verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Saved. They were teaching false doctrine, especially on the doctrine of salvation. Now notice in verse 2, and when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation, in other words, they were man on fire. They were sharp standing up for the Lord. They weren't going to deal with this in such a way that they're going to let it go. They were going to deal with it. They were going to get onto it. And it says that they had no small dissension with them or disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men, them, should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And so they were going to deal with it. There's nothing wrong with standing up for doctrine and truth and for the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
But what God hates, and we'll see that a little tonight, and what this wicked man practices is evil discord that is simply carnal and selfish. Carnal reasons and selfish reasons. to have perhaps followers that come after them, to deter the children of God, to break the house of God, the home, and to have the preeminence. Evil discord is wrong. Evil discord that is carnal, evil discord that is selfish, God hates. And this man practices continually discord, causes trouble, gets thrills to see division, can't stand restoration, has to be a troublemaker. And then we see the destruction of the wicked. Have a look. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. His calamity shall come suddenly. Trouble, disaster, ruin. A person that lives this kind of a wicked life would not know what hit him. Temporarily there'll be ruin, but also for all eternity. Remember, the rich man woke up and lifted up, when he died, he lifted up his eyes in what? Torment. He didn't know what hit him when he died. And over here it says, suddenly shall be broken without what? Remedy. It's going to be too late. If you die without Christ and being born again, and you die and you end up in hell, it's too late. You know, if the rich man did not hearken to the voice of the prophets that taught them to turn to God, if he did not turn to God by faith and did not do the very things that the prophets were crying out to do, and every single one of them was abhorred, detested, rejected by evil and wicked men, then they're going to find themselves in hell without remedy. And what about in our day? We have the prophets through the scriptures. We have apostles, evangelists, preachers, teachers, pastors, fiery, zealous Christians. I think we live in a day that when men have no excuse whatsoever. Whatsoever. There's no remedy in hell. When you end up in hell, it's too late to cry out for mercy and forgiveness. It's too late to say to God, please save me and forgive me. It's too late to ask Jesus to come and wash your sins with his blood. There's no remedy. And for the wicked, if he continues to reject the truth of God's way and rejects the Holy Spirit in their life, calamity and ruin and destruction will visit him, and hell will be his abode forever. That's where the wicked man belongs. He's a follower of Satan. He doesn't follow the Lord. He will not follow the Lord. He would not hearken to the preaching of the word of God. They did not listen to the warning of the watchman. They continued in their wicked ways. Can I just say this morning? Don't let it be too late for you. I beg you, don't let it be too late for you. If you're here this morning and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg you with all my heart, don't let it be too late for you. Yesterday we were out and about giving out gospel tracts, and there were the three rough men, sort of reminded me of how I was living, you know. A muscled shirt, tattoos exposed, or coming my way, and I just thought maybe one of them would take him. Gave him a track. I said, sir, this will show you how to get to heaven. And he says, hell yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hell yeah. Hell yeah is a phrase that we use today to say, yeah, of course, absolutely. Hell yeah. It got me thinking, wow, hell yeah, to wanting to go to heaven. And it hit him. He thought, oh, sorry. No, heaven, yeah. Amen. God wants you to go to heaven.
Amen.
doesn't want you to go to hell. That's the language the devil puts with the young people. God wants heaven for you. He wants heaven to be your home. And that's the message of God, by the way. Turn ye to the Lord, and he will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon. He wants you to be with him in heaven. But the wicked don't want to be with the Lord. That's the problem. There are people out there that just don't want the Lord. And I'm saying to you this morning, don't be one of those people.
Amen.
Love the Lord. Turn to him. Follow the Lord. Now the question has to be asked in closing, what is the lesson that God wants us to learn as Christians from consistently warning us about these wicked people? Well, number one, in closing, God doesn't want us to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. For the sake of time, we won't go there, but you know the contrast. The godly man that follows the counsel of the Lord shall what? Prosper. The wicked person that rejects the counsel of the Lord shall perish. That's the contrast. And God doesn't want us to be simply getting counsel from Dr. Feelgood, Oprah, ungodly therapist, psychologists. He doesn't want, by the way, if they give you some sort of counsel, it might be temporal, but God wants to give you eternal counsel.
Amen.
Counsel that will prosper you for all eternity. So we see the counsel of God is the counsel that will stand. Have a look at Proverbs 19:21 in your Bibles. That song is not in the hymn book, is it, Maggie? That song you sung this morning, it's not in the hymn book. No. That would have been a great song to close off the message, amen? Proverbs 9:21. I don't know if it's... 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We've got to remember that, amen? There are many, many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Have a look at verse 27 of Proverbs 19. What does it begin there? By what word?
Cease.
Okay, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And that's the ungodly, worldly, Hollywood movement, this ecumenical approach that wants us to err from God's word. But at the end of it, God's word, that shall stand. And so the only counsel that God wants us to get is from him. Godly counsels from godly men, and the multitude of counselors there is, and in multitude of counselors we make war. Good decisions, godly decisions, eternal decisions, and decisions that come from the word of God, and that will stand no matter what men may say. Proverbs 4:18, have a look, 4:18. The path of the just is as a what? Shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. But have a look at verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. God's counsel will make you stand. Look, at the ungodly counsel will make you stumble. Ruin your life. God does not want us to get counsel from ungodly, wicked men, and that includes false teachers and false prophets.
Amen.
Have a look in 2 Corinthians. Why does God want us to be, you know, watchful against these wicked people? Have a look at 2 Corinthians 6, because he doesn't want us to be unequally yoked together with them. And you say, why? Why doesn't God want us to partner with the wicked? After this message, we can see why, amen? Because they're wicked and don't love God. And they want you to serve idols just like them. They want you to follow them. They want you to follow the ways of Belial. Have a look, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? These are the, remember Belial, the sons of wickedness, worthlessness, these people that know not God. What agreement do we have with them? What common bond do we have with the ungodly that hate God? I don't want to hear it. Why partner in business and sign contracts with these people that are wicked? You know what God is literally saying? You are hurting yourself. You are only bringing destruction to yourself by partnering with the ungodly. What have the temple of God with idols? Or what part have, he that believeth with an unbeliever, an infidel? There's no common ground with them. We ought not to be knitted in fellowship and in agreement with people that hate God, evil workers, people that simply deter us from the word of God, people that influence us to leave off the word of God. Have a look, number three. We won't go to this passage of scripture, but we ought to watch out for false prophets and teachings. It's in Acts 13, 6 to 12. You can read it in your own time. But we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. God wants us to be people, wise people, and not people that will be deceived. Have a look at 1 Corinthians, please, if you will, verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 33. Have a look at verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication, what does it do?
Corrupt
good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And you know what he's talking about? The word that people have made it into sin, separation. People detest that word today, even amongst Christianity. And I say, maybe some of them have, maybe you're right, because they've been, that word's been abused. But just because it's been abused does not mean we don't practice it.
Amen.
Yeah, there are people that abuse that. Yeah, there are people that distort, but these are perhaps the people that have been influenced by wicked men that sow unnecessary discord. But one extreme is wrong, and the other extreme is wrong.
Yeah.
What God is saying to us, we ought not to be corrupted by the evil partnership, communication of those that teach false doctrine, and in this case they were teaching false doctrine regarding the resurrection of Christ. He doesn't want us simply to sit and talk and converse with people that have made up their mind and trying to teach us about the deity of Christ and the Trinity and all this. We ought not to sit down with them. If they don't want to hear it, we ought to keep on keeping on and preaching the truth and letting go with false doctrines and false teachers and false denominations. But sometimes we just sit down with them and we think, you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, and don't worry if you don't believe Jesus is God. I do, but let's hold our hands together because we all believe in Jesus. That's corrupt.
Yes.
And you have not the knowledge of God, Because people gave their life in the day of the Reformation and were burned to the stake. And those reformers will look at us and say, pitiful. Look at you. We were burned to the stake, standing for the truth of God's word. And here you want to fellowship with corrupt, false prophets and false teachers that not only corrupt the principle of holiness, but listen, the practice of holiness. I believe the attack in our day is upon the grace of God and the holiness of God. That's the day we live in. That's the Laodicean day that we live in, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, saying that the grace of God is not able to teach us to live godly and soberly and justly. No, that it's able. But there are many that have conformed to this practice. And what God is saying is, don't commune with them. It's going to corrupt you. It's going to corrupt your thinking about the grace of God, because the grace of God doesn't teach us to live like the world. The grace of God teaches us to live like Him. And that's a hard lesson. But we want to continue. And by the way, the resurrection, the doctrine of the resurrection, is not only significant to the day we get to heaven and meet with the Lord and get a new body, praise God for that. The doctrine of the resurrection has an influence to the way we live as Christians in this world. A new life in Christ. A resurrected being. The doctrine of the resurrection, God begins the day we get saved. We are resurrected in Christ. That's the picture of the gospel. And the redemption will be finished when we get our new body. Yeah. Praise God for that. And it groans. I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait for that new body. And if you're a Christian that's saying, I can't wait for the new body, means you hate sin and you hate wickedness and you hate what God hates. And this is why he continues to say, six things does the Lord hate and seven are an abomination. And that's what we'll look at tonight. We need to hate what God hates. Amen. Even in our lives, we need to hate it. God is warning us against wicked people that try to cause trouble and discourage us from pressing forward for the glory of God. And we need to hate what God hates and hate sin and hate division. Like I said, there's a reason why chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, God repetitively, consistently tells us to be careful. Have a look quickly and we'll close. Proverbs 1, verse 10. Proverbs 1, verse 10. Have a look quickly. Proverbs 1, verse 10. Have a look. It says, my son, if sinners entice thee, what's that word? Consent thou not. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. This is the knowledge of the Lord. Understanding shall keep thee. What? How? From what? To deliver thee from the way of evil men, from men that speaketh forward things. See, another warning. Chapter 3, verses 31. Chapter 3, verses 31. And we can back it up if we want. Or not. Envy thou not the oppressor. And even if you go to verse 30, strive not with a man without cause. Again, he's talking about unnecessary division. If he have done thee no harm, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the inhabitation of the just. And have a look at chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, and we're done. And then we'll continue tonight. Have a look. Verses 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. What does he want us to do in verse 15? Avoid it. avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. There's a warning against the wicked. The influence of bad communication that corrupts godly and good manners. And may God help us to have the knowledge in this area in a very balanced way and with a good spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.